Turn with me, if you would, this morning to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. Paul's letter to the Ephesians is a glorious one, doctrinal in every way, practical in every way as well. And it covers so many things. But chapter 1, from verse 1 to verse 16, there's 16 verses of powerful things that just kind of hit you. The reality of God's plan for Jews and God's plan for Gentiles and the whole mystery of that vision unfolding and Paul's teaching it of the mystery of the church and the body of Christ. And then finally ending up on about spiritual warfare and other things at the end of it. It's just an amazing book in every way. But I thought I don't want to break into the first 16 verses, but I want to pick it up at verse 16 and just talk about living out this life that God had in mind for us, this better life, this good life of Christ in us expressing himself. And so let me read verse 15 to get the text. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit. And what a prayer to pray for somebody, isn't it wonderful? To give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened so that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. In other words, this is the reading of the will, and we're included in it in all these unbelievable blessings. The glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of, and here's the part I want, the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might. That is one of the secrets to know in the Lord, the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Verse 21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness, and this is a beautiful verse, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Bow with me, would you? Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this glorious truth about what Jesus has done for us. Lord, we ask now for your blessings on the application of it as how we live a life so glorious, this better life that you had in mind, this life in Christ. And so we just ask for this, your Spirit, Father, to rest upon us, give us ears to hear, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Imagine. So I thought, imagine what it would be like with Jesus personally communing with you. What would it be like to have Jesus personally monitoring each moment? What would it be like? How wonderful to have his life within us, this great power that God has given us. I'm thinking of 2 Corinthians 6 and 9, or 6:19, where he says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. This spiritual power towards us in Christ, a glorious thing. And somehow in all of this, it's not just a matter of saying, oh, I love that book of Ephesians, or I love that book of Colossians, or I love 1 Thessalonians or something. The greater question is how are you fleshing it out in your life? This is always the issue for us. It's not that I can say, oh, brother, I just love that Ephesians, or I'm in Joshua right now, I'm still in Joshua. Lord, I really love that. But the better question is, am I living differently? Because God wants to live out his life in us. It's not just a matter of having some truth. which is glorious in itself, there's implications to it as to how that's appropriated. So this great power towards us is available. So all these things, this inheritance is available. I wrote this statement that the possibility of unbroken communion with Jesus personally will cause praise to arise. So we must give ourselves, because this, he said, this stuff is given to you, that we must give ourselves to the power and working of the Holy Spirit, that it'll be true in our life. That those verses, those 16 verses of chapter 1, would be true, absolutely true in our life. There would be a working out of it. And so I think for this to happen, for you and I to live a Christ-like life with the power of the Lord working mightily in us, as he says it will and does, there are two things that are needed. Practical things, really down-to-earth things. The first, and this is true, by the way, of all Scripture, but particularly true, I think, of Ephesians. Number one thing that we need is a faith that he is in us and that he will do a divine work in teaching us and sanctifying us. Okay, what do you mean? Well, I have to believe that Christ has come to live inside of me. And I must be absolutely convinced of that. And he's come to live inside of me that he might live his life through me, that he might mind his own business through me. He's got business to do, and he wants to channel that through me. He wants to draw near to me and come inside of me so that I must have faith that he's in me doing a divine work. Otherwise, you will find yourself striving how to make this happen. Right? You'll be trying so hard, say, oh, I've got to, you know, this must be, no, the working out is by faith. He didn't need much help in saving me, and he doesn't need much help in sanctifying me. The God that brought me to himself, and I must have faith to believe that that happened, I must believe that now he's in us, and he's in me, and he's in you, and he will do a divine work in teaching us and sanctifying us, and it'll be all to his glory and to his praise, because moment by moment we looked away from ourselves to him. And that is, and I can vouch for this in my whole life, for any victories that I've ever had, small or large, it's because I said, Lord, this will have to be you. You do that in me. You work that out in me. So number one, faith that he's in it and that he'll do it. That he'll, whatever the truth is, he'll work it out. If God says, be ye holy because I am holy, there's nothing else to do but to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for living through me. I can't, my holiness ends up being terrible. So I now thank you that your holiness has taken over. And by faith, I believe that. I'll have to let God work that out. But there's a second thing. It seems there's a period where before it kicks in. So by faith, I believe that he's going to do this work, all the truths that are necessary, all process of my life. I think now, what has to happen in my life between now and eternity? I don't know. I've given that to him. That by faith, I believe my salvation is being worked out right now. As I'm standing here before you, my salvation is being worked out. And I'm not to sweat it or worry about it, just to say thank you. Thank you. By faith. I don't see it, but by faith I believe it, and my prayers are often reflected where I will pray, say, thank you, Lord. This is you, not me. This is what you have to do. I can't do a very good job of it, so I turn it over to you. So number one is that faith thing. But the second thing is a quiet waiting. A quiet waiting to realize his presence. That's why we often pause and we'll say, listen, let's just bow our hearts and we just wait. We just wait on it. Just give God a chance to work in us and through us, to realize his presence, to hush over our thoughts, and to give him opportunity to take possession of us. That's why we pause in the morning with your devotions. Why? Just to give him a moment for you to say, Lord, before I go rushing out that door, I just must pause and I wait on you. Do your mighty work through me. Cause me to trust you today. And what are we doing? Letting him do that. We're letting God take over. We're not doing that ourselves. It's not this frenetic activity, but a quiet waiting on the Lord for him to take possession of us. And so we must die to our own will to enter and live in God's will. So this day, I give myself over. You give yourself over. So to simply depend utterly on the Lord to use us as his channel of blessing to his people, and wherever we would be. And that's why we pause in the morning, believing that he's going to work through us. It's all that needs to be done, but that we'll be in the right place at the right time. But you need to pause. There's a waiting, just a brief waiting, till you just have somewhat of the mind of the Spirit, and you say, Lord, I trust you now that today's going to be a great day. Somehow, some way, you're going to do some wonderful things in it, and I'm waiting on you just now. Now, Lord, I trust you that that'll happen. So faith and a quiet waiting. Faith and a quiet waiting. I think that's the secret of appropriating all truths into our life. So we enter into the good life, the better life, the Christ life, really. The life that, I think it was Hannah, what was her name? Hannah Smith. I got the right name? Yeah, Hannah Smith. And she talks about this, is that Jesus, this wonderful Lord Jesus, that he gives us the life that we need to pull off everything that we need to pull off. So we place ourselves before the Lord every day, each day, as a vessel to be filled with his Holy Spirit. Just take this very second right here. Just, you can keep your eyes open, but you may want to close them. Just surrender yourself to the Lord. And just say, Lord, fill me. Just right where you are. Fill me. Thank you. Lord, I want to be a vessel. Fill me. Even today, sitting here in Valley Church, I want to be a vessel filled with the Spirit of God. Isn't it wonderful how simple? I think that's done. That little secret is what we do all day long, all night long. We just say, Lord, fill me. I give myself to you. And he fills us with the blessed assurance that he is the everlasting, as the everlasting God has guaranteed his own work in us. And I think that's one of the things. He said, it's going to happen. It's going to happen exactly as my word says it's going to happen. I guarantee that I've started a good work in you, Owen, and I will finish it. But by faith, you must believe that with all of your heart, absolutely convinced that God will do that, that he's going to complete my all the working within me that's necessary, that I can literally sit back and say, what a great life. What a great life this is. Looking away from myself, looking to him. Looking away from myself, looking to him. What a way to live. It's a better life. It's the Christ life that he intends us. And that, by the way, and it's a thin, I don't want to upset anybody's theology by what I'm going to say, but sometimes the problem is Pentecostals, at least as I see, because I'm kind of a Baptocostal, if truth be known. I have experienced Pentecost, but some things, but I'm somewhat Baptist in other things, as many of you are. So the whole thing about revival, people say, oh, we just need revival. Yeah, we do. I don't have a problem with that. I believe we do need revival. The problem is that you don't have to wait for a revival if you understand what I'm trying to say today. Right? He's in charge of those things. Just enjoy. Oh God, we got to have a revival. Yeah, revival would be nice. It'd be good. But what? Have one now. Have a revival now in your heart. Christ, what I'm saying, all that's needed for a revival has already been given to us. Right? You say, we need holiness. Yes, Lord, please. I thank you. Thank you. Be thou my holiness. Right? Be thou my holiness. Be thou my strength. Be thou whatever else I need. Be thou my anointing. Right? Be thou the one who releases gifts from me. Whatever it is, be thou the healer through me. But I've just already got that. I don't have, there's no striving here. There's no kind of a pressing in. It's all done. You don't see Paul saying, now, all he says is just possess your possessions. It's all there. You don't see him as saying, oh, just pray, please just pray. We're so hungry for a revival. What part of revival are you hungry for? Because this is the answer to all of the striving within my heart. I'm prepared that he will give me my own Pentecost if I let him. The baptizer lives within me, right? It's Christ within, and he will baptize me, and he will fill me with the Holy Spirit, and he will do whatever else is necessary. It's already there. It's already done in many ways. So it's God who works all in all. From him and through him and to him are all things. And we just give him praise. We believe him, A, and B, we wait on him to give him opportunity to do that working out within us. So believe that it is God who is working out your salvation. Now turn with me, if you would, to the book of Philippians, just over a page or two there. Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, as not only as in my presence, but how much more in my absence, work out. Now, the people, if you're a bit legalistic, this is one of the favorite verses. Work out your own salvation. Say, now, what are you talking about? It says here, we're supposed to work this thing out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do. He wishes, he wills it, and he's prepared to do it, his good pleasure, to work for his good pleasure. Now, he didn't say work for your salvation. He said work out your salvation. Big difference. Huge big difference to that. How is that worked out? Well, let me just read what I wrote. It's God who works in both to will and to do his good pleasure. God is working out the image of his son in all of us here. He's already doing that. And so, this fear and trembling, you say, Lord, I come before you. And I need that greater work done within me. Thank you that because you're working this out in me, I can yield to you and trust you and look to you. God working out the image of his own son in me. A glorious thing, a beautiful thing. And of course, I wrote here, yes, of course. Can God not work out in me the purpose of his love? I believe he can. So I'm not working for it, it's working out. Not 1 minute of our lives should be without the Lord doing this working. No, God must be every moment the worker of your soul. He's the one who's working. Let him work it out. Say, work out yourself. Yes, Lord, here I am. Work out that salvation in me. And I'm going to just look to you, Jesus, day by day, morning by morning, every night, driving, talking, resting, sleeping. It doesn't matter. God is at every moment, he's the worker in your soul, and he's the one that's working out your salvation. And that's because it's his job. Because he said, how do you know that? Well, verse 13 says, work it out. Or verse 12 says, work it out. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you. You're able to work it out because God's working in you. That's how it works. He's prepared to do that. So I say, Lord, let me believe that I am God's child and that the Father in Christ through the Holy Spirit has set his love upon me, that I may abide in his presence. Oh, turn, if you would, to John 15. John 15, again, is one of those pure, wonderful passages on abiding. John 15 and verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The great promise, he said, I'll come inside of you and I will do all the abiding. Not frequently do I do this, but unceasingly we abide in his presence. That's the secret of this whole life. The veil has been rent. The holiest of all has opened. And by the grace of God, I have to take up my abode. It's a deliberate thing. You choose today to abide. Lord, I'm choosing to abide in you. Thank you that you're working out my salvation. I bless you. And because you're working it out, I can shine it out. I can hold it out. That's what he says to do. It's just so wonderfully amazing. My home and your home is always in the abiding love of the Father in heaven. Abide in me. It's not a suggestion. Rest in me. That's where the words mean, right? Rest. Rest in me. Chill out in me. Enjoy me. And I think one of the reasons you can enjoy your salvation, and I hope you do enjoy it, I hope it brings you unbelievable satisfaction. There are many people that merely endure their salvation. And they're waiting until they finally get to heaven because it's such a miserable time they're having. True, it's really true. They're having a miserable time. Because they have not, they're striving, not abiding. This is of the strongest importance. Because it all rests on, if you catch that as to how that happens, of just resting, abiding, trusting, this is the better way of living. It's the new way. The new way of living is abiding in the Lord. And here's the truth. This is the absolute wonderful truth. God loves to dwell in you and me. This is not some theological thing. He loves to come and live inside of us. Imagine, what an original idea. God, you love to dwell in me. He said, Owen, the greatest thing, I'm sure he would say this, and I'm sure he's going to say this, my greatest thrill was coming to live inside of every one of God's children, living inside of us, and he loves that. Believing moment by moment, this is for us, believing moment by moment that the Holy Spirit of God is deep within you, deep, deep within you. Oh, the depths of the love of God, this wonderful thing. This beautiful thing. So you and I do God's work outside. So that's all people see, right? They just see, whether we pray for people or minister to people or encourage people or strengthen people or whatever else we might do. That's God's work outside. And so we let God alone do his work inside. The stuff that we do that's outside, you and I do God's work outside, but God alone does his work inside. And it is God who must do that. Let God do what is his, and that you can do what is yours to do. So you and I are responsible for the depth of our growth. I must choose this way of living that I'm talking about here today. I must choose it. Because he is responsible for the breadth. I must determine how deep I'm going to go into Christ, abiding in him, deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper in the Lord. As years go by, that we're learning to abide so much easier, so much quicker, so much sooner. And just saying, Lord, oh, I was anxious there. I'm just going to abide in you. I'm just going to trust you. So we do the depth. He does the breadth. Don't confuse that, or you'll be trying to make, for example, even your ministry. Your job is not this way. Your job is this way. My job is this way. And God will take care of. See, the problem is, somebody said about evangelicalism, is that it's 3,000 miles wide, half an inch deep. Maybe. Maybe can be that could be true, but let God worry about that. How far will your ministry extend? I don't know. That's God's business. You just go deep. You just abide in Jesus and let him take care of the ministry. I don't have doubt that there's people here today that your ministry and calling is working out, and you're going to be amazed, and we'll say, I knew them before they were famous, or I knew them before they were really well known in their ministry. I went to Valley Church. Yeah, I could see that. There was a lot of stuff going on. The reason there was a lot of stuff going like that is because there's a lot of stuff going like that. And so I must, I'm only responsible for the depth. I thank God that he'll work out the width. And how much of an influence that I would have in this world. how much you would have in this world. It's a powerful, powerful thought. So what do? Well, go back to the two principles. One is the principle of faith. You have to believe something wonderful is taking place in your life. Say, well, I don't feel anything. Well, you can never go on feelings. Never, never, never. Oh, man. You're finished if you're going on feelings. You have to trust His beloved Son, whom the Father has given to be and to do in us what He asks us to be and to do. That's how it works, by faith. And then again, that, as I say, that gentle waiting. And I saw some of you guys I think it was after the service, there was different people praying for different people. And I thought, what a wonderful scene. A wonderful, wonderful scene. But I noticed that when people were praying, notice how what I'm just trying to illustrate here, they illustrated for me. They were going to pray for each other, and there were some over here too, I think. And they just paused before anybody, and then I heard somebody say, come Holy Spirit. Why are we doing that? Just giving God opportunity to bring His presence and His power and all that He needs. Rather than just rushing into it, there was just this kind of a, and then there was the hands and there was the praying. I thought that's how it's supposed to be. Right? So in every level, we always pause because we're just plugging into the Lord. You've been at somebody's place and somebody said, why don't we have a word of prayer before we get going? And usually it's not, yes, Lord, let's have a get going. No, it's, what's that? No, it goes a little quiet and there's a space, right? And we're often wondering who is going to maybe break the ice a little bit there. We're not quite sure who that. And then finally somebody says, yes, Lord, we are here tonight. And we're in great need of You. And we're just choosing to abide in You. We're choosing to trust You. It's up to You, Lord. Nothing's up to us. It's our only job is to trust and believe You. And now, Lord, as we lay hands on this person, we're trusting You to touch them. And it just gets better and better and better the more you understand. But it's important that we don't just, otherwise you get people's thoughts and opinions. We pause to wait for His moment as He comes. And oftentimes, somebody may come to the front, for example, and they're all worried and they're stressed. And when they're going to pray, you can see the agitation on their face. And then after we've prayed, how many times we've seen that peace and that anxiety, and then they looked peaceful. I thought, that's a wonderful thing. I think it was because we said, come Holy Spirit now. Lord, use this moment. And we're just going to look to You for everything that needs to take place. And then out of that, of course, flows other things. So we place ourselves before Him. We're believing Him, right, that He wants to use us. Now we place ourselves before Him. And I wrote here, just rest in entire dependence upon Him. It's a bit of an art because many times your flesh will get in the way. My flesh will get in the way. Many times I think I've wrecked the moment from my impulsiveness. As you know, I'm a man of few words. But, yeah. Thank you, brother. And sometimes I've hurtled into it, and later I just repented. I said, Lord, I was a bit impulsive there. God's very forgiving, but I need to learn sometimes how to be quiet. And some of you sometimes have moments when you need to project. So we learn these things. Some to speak more, some to speak less. It's beautiful harmony if that works. But you don't always... Abiding, not everybody gets it right away. And says, even Val and I bet you we could go back to FGBI days and we heard sermons on abiding the brother from Major Ian Thomas and all these different ones, and we kind of thought we got it, then it disappears a little bit, and later so it's taken in many ways a lot of our life to really understand how abiding works. How many know what I'm talking about? But it's there. And then when I move away from it, I said, how did I get away from that? That was some of the most profound things I ever heard. And I let it slip away to other things. So we place ourselves before Him. We rest and learn and say, Lord, show me how to rest. So that I don't, maybe if I start my day, there's one good way. Start your day by just submitting and committing. All that I am, I give to you, right? All that I know about me, I give to all that I know about you. And I'm just giving my life over today, God, to you. And I pray that you will just use me in any way you can. Thank you for the mighty power that's working in me. Say, well, I don't feel that. That's why you have to learn this. It's not that you don't have go on feelings whatsoever. You just trust, believing, faith. You just like as you trusted God for your salvation, now trust him for your sanctification. The one who started this good work in you will complete it. He will complete it. As I yield, I surrender myself to him again and again and again. So pretty soon, it becomes natural. You get in your car, and what do you say? Just, Lord, thank you. Just watch over me as I drive downtown. Oh, I have an important meeting. Oh, I pray your presence will be with me today as I go in that meeting. Give me your confidence. Give me your peace on this. And you know, when you come home, you say, and you're saying now the meeting's over and you're going back home, you say, oh, Lord, I just know it was you. I just know it was you. I knew it was you when I walked in there. I sensed your presence with me, and you gave me the words to say to that individual, and it was just, oh, God, I was so upset about it, and it just worked out. Lord, I give you all the praise. Now, what have you been learning? How to abide. How to trust him. Don't go just flying into that meeting. Be absolutely forceful on this, is that I must, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. I must wait on him for that moment where I give it over to him. So it's the believing part, and then it's the quiet waiting. Both are absolutely, totally, 100% essential. Believing, waiting. Believing, waiting. All through days and months and years and finally your life. So just place yourself before him. Rest entire dependence upon him. And I made this statement, neither man nor self, nor devil can harass you if you give up all for him. You have absolutely power over the devil if you have given yourself over to him. Nothing can harm you just because you have yielded yourself to the Lord. And I know, and you know, if you've ever been in a room where there's a demonic thing going on, a manifestation going on, it's always kind of a little spooky at first, right? If you're honest, something roaring at you or threatening you in some way. And so as we just quietly, we don't go railing in there trying to give the devil a black eye. We just say, blood of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for the power of the Spirit of God. Thank you for the large angels that are here. Thank you for the finished work of the cross. Thank you for Satan's defeat. Lord, we proclaim the defeat of the enemy 2,000 years ago. You've been defeated. And Lord, we just thank you for the quiet assurance of that. See the quiet assurance? Just reminding the devil because we're believing and trusting, he can roar and snarl and snort and whatever else he wants to do. We're not moved by that. Why? Because we believe that when we've yielded ourselves to the Lord, the mighty power of God, Paul says, that power that works towards you and in you. We're just confident of it. We don't have to work it up. It's not, see, this is in my charismatic, well, it wasn't much charismatic, it was Pentecostal background. For years, I kind of shied away from deliverance. And the reason for it was not so much of the demonic, it was the people doing the ministry scared me. They had unbelievable antics. I don't even know why I'm talking about this, but they were kind of scary people, and they were shouting so loud, and the blood, the blood, the blood. They were just going crazy, and I said, yeah, well, I was glad it was over. And then I learned some things. Right? It doesn't have to be like that. That's actually a lack of faith. It's a quiet assurance in the name of Jesus who defeated you, who lives in us, who dwells in us. Why would we be afraid of anything if we actually believe the Lord dwells in us? We're strong in him in the power of it. No strength in ourselves, but absolute strength in him. So he has taken his own training into his own hands. He has taken his own training into his own hands. So we may depend on him to make us what he wants us to be. He's taken that upon him. As he took upon the sins of the world, now he's taken on the responsibility to be in and through everything that's necessary. Your job is simply to... See, I talk about the holy demands. Really, when somebody comes to Christ, and this is right, there's nothing wrong with what we're doing. We say, welcome to the body of Christ here. Here's your manual. And they get this book. Wow, there's quite a bit in here. Well, especially the front half is probably more important to us as New Testament people. So we narrow it. Okay, so I have to know the first part. Well, you should know it all, but it needs to be obeyed. You know, you picture if you're a new Christian, this must be obeyed. Okay. Yow. You know, I wonder how many people we have frightened away from discipleship. Instead of saying, listen, everything in here God wants you to do. Just so that is true. That hasn't changed. But everything that he demands of you, he will take responsibility for. Holiness, get a good one, right? Holiness, give that to him. Get away from that yourself. Just commit yourself to it. Say, I desire to be holy. Make me holy. Be my holy. That's even better. Be my holiness. All that's needed, whatever a holy, righteous God demands, I thank you that a holy, righteous God will now provide for it. Thank you. Thank you for that. What else? God says, do not worry. Oh, okay, Lord. Be thou my serenity. And Val and I, even after we prayed, we said, serenity now, serenity now. You have seen Seinfeld, you know why that's funny. But there is a serenity. We are claiming his serenity. Say, I'm in a dither. Oh, I'm in a dither. You know, I don't know, that's an old term, but he went off in a dither. It sounded like something you drove. I bought a brand new. So you just, Lord, thank you. I'm not going to go off in a dither. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to look to you. Calm my heart. Be the calmer of my heart. And then we wait gently. We believe, then we wait. Now, we do that today, tomorrow, the next day. Some days it's quite dramatic. You say, wow, it's such a beautiful day when I give the... Other days, I was, to be honest, I didn't trust enough. I thought God was moving it a little too slow for me. And so I speeded it up, and I jumped ahead, and I know I didn't see the fullness of it that I would have seen had I just waited a bit more. But that's how you learn, right? You're not going to have perfect days, but can you imagine if this is the lifestyle you took on between now and the time you feel his arms around you? Can you imagine what it would be like? What kind of a days you'd have? Again, getting it away. Not trying to get away from the scriptures. We embrace them and believe them. But looking to Christ, who has undertaken my sanctification, every bit of it, he's taken responsibility for. And therefore, I can rest and abide. If it's up to me, there'll be little rest and little abiding. Oh, man. Because there's so many things that scare you, isn't there? They scare you. At least they scare me. And I'm not sure about that and how that's going to work out. And that thing in the hospital and then that bill that's come in and this has happened and that has happened. And yet, Lord, I believe that you've come to live inside of me. And your plans are being worked out. So now, I give it over to you. Now do that for the rest of your life. Trusting him. Don't take any responsibility for yourself. Simply say, Christ, I want what you want. There's nothing irresponsible here. Matter of fact, I believe the outcome will be greater in every way. It's not going to be, some of you said, well, it's going to be a lot of loosey-goosey stuff here, isn't it? You're going around there saying, I say, you know, we need to get some rules going here to keep everybody in line. No, I don't. I think the Holy Spirit can keep you in line. If he can't keep you in line, I know I can't. So we're just trusting the Lord to keep our congregation full of the Spirit, right? Full of the Spirit, following Christ, right till he comes for us. And that's why there's no nothing, again, I believe that revival would be good, but there's nothing in the Bible from Paul that says now about the great revival coming. He fully understood the revival was in the truth, that you don't have to wait for something to come. Put it on right now. Put on Christ. This is the moment to put on Christ. That's it. And then whatever great revival God wants to do, we welcome it, right? We welcome the revival. It's not the point. But my point is that I see people, they're frustrated by what they don't see instead of enjoying. You know, they've come out of Egypt, but they haven't fully come into the promised land of milk and honey. And I believe that's what, because Christ is that. Christ is made unto us. Made unto us righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Everything I need, he has provided. So I simply bow my heart, allow him to work that out. Perfectly? Yeah, some days. Every day? No. But I'm learning, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And, let's stand together. I'm going to read, just as you're standing, I'm just going to read the Philippians 1. One little part of it, you've read this many times before. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. For I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Who started that good work? Jesus. He began a good work in us. Well, the promise is he'll complete it. The one who started it will complete it. Say, well, I don't know what kind of a life. You know, many, many times Christians are afraid of, even when you preach on the Bema, you know, the judgment seat of Christ for believers. They're very nervous, and people come and says, you know, you always put me under so much guilt when you preach on that. And I said, How would that be? I don't remember doing that. Maybe I did, but I don't remember doing that. Well, you talked about us having to stand before the judgment. I said, well, we will. Yeah, but I just feel so in. I said, oh, you need to read this. The one who began the work in you will take you all the way and provide all you need. Why did you think that you have to do something to be accepted? I mean, the finished work of the cross is the finished work of the cross. But they always felt guilty and unsure, lacking confidence. And instead of having full confidence, say, oh, Lord, bring it on. Bring on the judgment seat. Bring on, because I'm going to simply look away from myself and point to the one on the cross. Say, he started the work and he's finishing the work. He'll finish it in you. Trust him for that. Press in with that. Fall in love with him. Right? Just be so overwhelmed with him. This beautiful God who says, my mighty power is working in you. That same power that raised Christ from the dead is in us. I've underlined it in pink, followed by dark. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're just waiting in that moment I was talking about. We're just waiting for God to kick in with whatever he wants to say or do or thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you that you really delight in coming to live inside of us. Maybe one or two people may just want to express themselves. Just raise your voice a little bit higher. Just give a prayer, word. Yes. Anybody else? Yes, yes. Yes. Yeah, hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. 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 One more. Yeah. Yes, Lord, we do strive to press in. That is true. We receive that. And we want to this morning, we just want to press in the end of the rest. What a play on words that is. How wonderful is that? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Isn't it a glorious life when we understand that people say, oh, it's so hard. It's not hard. It's impossible. As soon as you recognize this life is impossible, you'll do fine. As you will. It's impossible to do what we just said. God must do that in us. How wonderful. The better life. The Christ life. The one that God designed for you to enjoy. So, Father, bless us as we go to the patio for fellowship and bless our whole day. And again, thank you for, Lord, it seems like I've won the lotto. Feels that I somehow, Lord, that I'm the most luckiest, most blessed man. Because Christ has come to live inside of me. Thank you. Make that real to everybody here. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here this morning. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Now, here's the rule. We got to change the rules around here. There are rules. Here are the rules. Simple rules. Sometimes we immediately go to fellowship with our friends. But I think we're going to have the three-minute rule, even two-minute rule, that you have to go and say hi to somebody that you haven't said hi to or you don't know who they are, and then you can go and visit with your friends. All right? So just if you see somebody, say, hi, good morning, how are you? And then meet with the rest of your friends, okay? Later, we'll see you at 2 o'clock at Mahan's. Catch you then.